This week's mailbag comes to us via email. Wow. Just wow. I'm a longtime listener, and last week's Throughput Inventory Operational Expense podcast blew my mind. It was a quantum leap for me, and I listened again twice this week. I was actually waiting for this week's episode, and I'm blown away again. I got chills when you said Utah. I'm in Salt Lake. Then when you said you were lonely, I stood still, feeling and recommitting to my mission and passion, creating community. I have been involved in creating art, music, and volunteer events for the local Burning Man regional community for the last decade, and the impact of creating spaces for people to gather and form community has been life-changing. My friends and I are really good at creating community and spaces for people to share their creative gifts. And we have families, businesses, professions, homes, and real lives to maintain. I am able to do what I was uniquely created to do because you shared your gifts in this world. The impact we all have is real. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How did you do at establishing a new morning routine? If you are not used to doing a morning, afternoon, or evening routine, I suggest you only pick one to focus on in the next 120 days. Really get that routine established and then focus on the next and the next. It doesn't matter. You could start with that afternoon routine. You could start with your evening routine. You could start with your morning routine. But if you try to establish all three, it's hard to do. You can try it, but it's harder to do. So start with one, add the second one, then add the third one. And if you already have all three routines established, as I do, then start to make small changes. You'll notice that I'm not really making very much of a change here to my afternoon routine other than acknowledging what happened during the pandemic. So let's start out with January and February of 2020. What did my afternoon routine look like? And what in the heck is an afternoon routine? I originally talked about afternoon and evening routines in one podcast back in September of 2017. It's podcast episode 193, if you want to listen to that one. And in there, I really talked about why I feel an afternoon routine is so crucial for most people. You have a default morning and evening routine. Like you have things that you always do in the morning and you always do in the evening, but you really have to be conscious about setting up a afternoon routine. And your afternoon routine bridges between your work or school or whatever you spend the majority of your weekday doing and the dinner hour. What is the transition period between school and dinner, between work and dinner, between homeschool and dinner, between taking care of your kids all day and dinner? There are some things that happen during that time. When I was a stay-at-home mom and I was running a direct sales company, that time would be the hour that I prepared dinner, cleaned up the house, checked homework. All of that happened in that time. Now, there's not very much that happens in my afternoon routine. It is much more about when do I say work is over and house life is beginning again. For many, many years, work was never over. Work was just paused while I talked to Greg and maybe did or didn't have dinner with him and then went back to working again. And that may be the season of life that you're in, but I was not in that season of life in January and February. I got back into that season of life and I'm stepping back out of it again. So January and February, what did my life look like from 4 to 6 p.m.? So Organized 365, we have flexible hours. You could start at 7:30 in the morning. You could start at 8:30. It doesn't matter. You work your hours. And so we have different start-stop times, but our official warehouse hours are 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. So I see 4:30 p.m. as being, you know, the Organized 365 official end of day, even though some people are working later than that and customer service works into the night. Also, the other reason why 4:30 is kind of the official end of the day for me is because that is Greg's quitting time. And while where Greg has worked in 2020 has changed, when he has worked has not changed. He has worked 7:30 in the morning until 4:30. Now, another thing that happened early in shutdown was Greg's company put everyone on furlough. So every other Friday, Greg was off for, 8 months of the year. They also did significant layoffs as well, and luckily Greg maintained his position. The furlough is ending in January, so we're going back to working 5 days a week, which is great for many reasons, but that added another dimension into our 2020 of Greg working 9 days off, on, and then having this every other Friday off. So again, January and February, 4:30 is when I would say my official shutdown of the day is. I have had the desire for years since I've been growing Organize 365 that I would eventually get to the point where Organize 365 would fit into normal workdays. Greg would leave for the work at 7:15. I would also start working. He would leave his office at 4:30, get home at 4:45. I would be done working too. Like, I would have the same work hours that he would have, just a desire I had had for a long time. And in January and February, I had that. And I kind of knew when 4:30 came, I looked at what I was doing and I said to myself, okay, am I at a good stopping point? Is there anything else that has to be done for today? Am I set up for tomorrow? I would make my note card and I would physically power down my computer sometime between 4:30 and 4:45. I would come downstairs. I'd bring my coffee mugs down. I would go get the mail. I would start to go through the mail. Greg would come home. The dog would be there. We would talk after work. That was our afternoon routine. Somewhere along in there in the last couple of years, I started going to Culver's, getting onion rings. You know, this is like my terrible habit. And I wouldn't even always wait until 4 or 4:30 to do it or 5. Like, I would at 2 or 3 run out and get Culver's onion rings and come back and then finish my workday. And what I realized that Culver's run does for me, it's a 45-minute drive because it's 15 minutes to drive there and it's about 15 minutes sitting in the line while they make your food and then 15 minutes to drive back, 45 minutes to an hour. At first, I did it because I really wanted fast food. But then I realized I did it because I really wanted the commute. I really wanted the drive time. I listened to podcasts during that time. Sometimes I listened to music during that time. Sometimes I listened to Voxers or reply to people's Voxers during that time. So it's like a commute. Nobody can really get a hold of me. Like, the dog can't bark. I mean, people can call me, but kids don't pop in my office. You know, it's just my time in the car with my thoughts about whatever I want to think about. And I got a yummy treat at the end of the drive. And then I got to drive back. And so I loved that, like, commute. And I was doing that before the pandemic started, this daily drive to get onion rings. I know it's way too many onion rings. It is my vice that I do. So when lockdown happened, I did not stop going to Culver's. One, they were wearing gloves and masks. Two, I'm in a drive-thru. Three, it's my job to stimulate the economy and make sure people still have jobs. So I did still go to Culver's. And one, it was like a little bit of normalcy. I felt like I was doing good in the community. And also, I got to get out of the house for 45 minutes. So from March to May, when we were officially in lockdown in the state of Ohio, I started working until 5 or 6 at night. And so did Greg. Like, we both worked a lot more. We did not end our workday at normal times. So I would go around 2 or 3 to Culver's. I would take that drive, get away from the house, get away from everybody, collect my thoughts, think about things, reply to Voxers without people listening to every message that I'm sending. And then I would come back. And then I would start my puzzle around 5 or 6. We had like sporadic dinners. We've just never been good at dinners at our house. If you've listened to the podcast for more than 6 months, you know I'm not a gourmet chef. I'm not even good at microwaving. I'm just not good at meals whatsoever. So that was lockdown. Everyone's lockdown was unusual. Then we had summer. In the summer, Greg got to go back to the office, so he started coming home at 4:45. And I sometimes would end my day, I would say maybe 2 days a week, I would end my day at 4:45. What I started doing in the summer was going into the warehouse because we had moved on the evenings or on the weekends. Every weekend, I would spend a day at the warehouse just looking at things, moving things around, figuring out how things were going to get organized in the warehouse. So I was working at home on work stuff during the work week. And then on the weekends, I would go to the warehouse and I would work on the warehouse stuff. So I was working a lot more in the summer. And my afternoon routine, I would say I always worked at least one day, sometimes 2 days. So I was really working 6 to 7 days a week, if you counted the days that I went over to the warehouse. And as like my transition between work and home, now 6 or 7 days a week, I would go make that Culver's run, that 45 minutes to an hour, which really is a commuting processing time, not necessarily a nutrition time, obviously, because it's Culver's. It's not like good food. Then August to December happened. Joey moved home in August, started working for Organized 365. I took him to the office. Greg was still working at his office. And even when he came to work from home, he would go pick up Joey at the office. He would leave the office at 4:30 and he would get home closer to 5 because he needed to pick up Joey. I would leave and I would go get Culver's. I know. I have not really enjoyed Culver's onion rings for the last 6 months, but I still find myself going to get them all the time. Like I used to get the whole butter burger, onion rings, and the sweet tea. Now, half the time I only get the onion rings and the sweet tea, or just the onion rings and no sweet tea whatsoever, because I realize that I've just created this habit of this is how I transition from work to home. This is how I get private, quiet, alone time for my thoughts, for whatever I want to do, for any phone calls or voicemails that I want to leave. But yet I no longer desire the food. And I really would like to stop having all the calories. It's 400 calories every time you have onion rings. And if you think I leave any of those onion rings left in the bag, I do not. So I have all 400 of the calories every time I go out there. And I usually add a sweet tea. And I don't really add the butter burger as much anymore, but for a long time I did. So what am I going to do going into 2021? Because I still have this need and this desire for commute time. And a fake commute of like just driving around isn't the same for me. Like I want there to be a purpose. I want there to be a goal. I'm not saying that I 100% have this one figured out, but I have figured out that while I don't know how to replace the driving in the Culver's time, creating those pink slash pockets of those big projects that I want to work on has already given me more motivation and desire not to lose 45 minutes just driving so that I can have more time to work on my projects. And that to me is step one, not finding somewhere else to drive to, which is what I tried to do all fall, but trying to find something else that is more desirable for me for that time instead of the drive. The second hard part about this for me is food and dinner. Again, never been good at food. One of the good things that happened August to December with Joey working at Organized 365 with no car and Abby babysitting and doing college and living at home was that we did start making dinner. Like there were weeks where we made every single meal and had them all together. And now I would say 2 or 3 times a week we make a meal and we have it together as a family. We haven't done that for years. They aren't made from scratch meals. Like it's a Stouffer's lasagna with garlic bread and broccoli, but it's a meal and everybody's satisfied and full at the end. So transitioning this time from driving to get Culver's to creating a meal for our family, that's one thing that I've done. Or even just a lot of times I'll just have a bowl of cereal for dinner, like having the bowl of cereal, washing it, doing whatever, and then moving into my pink slash pockets is what I plan on doing in this next 120 days. Of the 3 routines, this is the one that is most nebulous to me and the one that is still in process. I'm not really sure how I'm going to achieve it. And in addition to having something else to do with that time, the pink slash pockets, the second piece that I haven't fully figured out is what about the food part? Like I don't desire the Culver's onion rings anymore. And I figured out how to eliminate the drive part. But what do I want to eat? And I'm not really sure I know what I want to eat. And I honestly think I'm going to figure it out this summer. So I'm just going with the flow. Like if Greg makes dinner for the family, we'll have that. If I feel like making the lasagna dinner for the family, I'll have that. If I want to have cereal, I'll have that. Figuring out what snack foods and smaller meals I can have that keep my migraines away and keep my energy level going is something that I am deferring to the next trimester, and I'm just going to observe this trimester. You don't always have to have all of the solutions when you're getting ready to get started and change. It takes some observation of what you're actually doing, thinking about your thinking, observing what you're doing in order to change it going forward. So I'm sorry I don't have like an actionable like do 1, 2, 3. I think the first thing I would love for you to take away from this podcast is acknowledging that there is a transition from whatever you do all day long to that dinner home hour. What is that transition like for you? What are you currently doing? What do you want to do? And I'll give you more of an actionable that would work for me if my kids were younger or I had more household responsibilities. This is when I would drive to go get from my kids for school. So driving definitely helps me make this transition. But anyway, walking out to get the mail can do it as well. I would change the laundry. I would do the dishes. I would do a little bit like a 15-minute household cleanup. This is a great time to add in your 100-day home organization program is right there in that transition where everybody's kind of together. Because if you have anyone you want to ask questions about, should we get rid of this or should we get rid of that? You could do it right there. And then also having that little bit of time with family, whether we have a meal or not, just checking in with everyone's day. I'm usually done with that by 5:30 or 6, and then I'm free to have the rest of the evening to myself. I have adult kids. We all have different things that we want to focus on in the evening, so I'm off to my pink slash pockets or my puzzle for the evening. Next week, I will talk to you about my evening routine, what has changed there, and what my plan is for the first 120 days of 2021.